Good evening, everyone. I'm Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your radio of reason, an independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening, January 13, 2008. It is now about 8:01 Central Standard Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Good evening, everyone. This evening, I'd like to read you a few emails, but before we do that, I'd like to encourage people to call in this evening. We're going to talk about the New Hampshire primary, but in a general sense, we're going to talk about voting in general and the legitimacy of our voting today. During our live broadcast, please call 646-652-4620, 646-652-4620. Or email us at comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. In fact, his last newsletter, which you could subscribe to free of charge, and it is a beauty, folks. It is filled with information, well thought out, succinct, and well written. It'll give you insight to what is going on in a very, very short period of time. If you go to his website, mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two, I believe you could subscribe free to his newsletter that comes out once a week or once every 2 weeks. I always look forward to it. I read it diligently, and I get a lot from it. I thank you very much, Andy. Please do so, folks. I have a few emails that I'd like to read to you. The first one is from Richard. There is now a Ron Paul foundation of sorts or group. It's called Ron Paul Revere's. I love that. Ron Paul Revere's. And there is a DVD which was put out by Richard Freinson, I guess his name is. I guess he's the campaign manager for Ron Paul Revere's. As you know, most people who are promoting the Ron Paul campaign are not officials that have been hand-selected by Ron Paul. In fact, Ron Paul knows very few, if any, of the people who are promoting his campaign, which I think is absolutely wonderful, folks. I mean, just think, you are running for office, and you do not have to ask anyone to campaign for you to do certain things. They volunteer, and they do it basically behind your back. I think this is wonderful. In fact, when he was asked about the program, the website that was reaching out to millions of people asking for contributions towards his campaign, they asked him, they say, well, geez, you know, how did you do this? He says, I didn't do it. Well, how did you select the person, you know, head of this thing? He says, I don't even know who did it. I mean, I think that's the beauty of his campaign, and that is something that every one of my listeners, and further, everyone in the United States should embrace. And we've done a lousy job of that as Americans. We finally have someone who is honest, telling the truth, is not a politician, wants to clean the place up. And what do? We almost shunt him. And if you remember last week, I had mentioned that I thought that last Thursday might have been my last program. And I still haven't made that decision, but I am still highly discouraged. I'm not discouraged because I'm listening to these bureaucrats sort of debate or talk on TV on these the debates, if you want to call them debates. I hate to call them debates because they're not. I mean, they don't discourage me because I'm getting from them exactly what I expect. Where I am very discouraged, I'm incredibly discouraged to the point of being slightly depressed, is the attitude of the American public and the American voter. I mean, I'm so disappointed in Americans. I am disappointed, folks. I'm disappointed in the people who make up this country. They should be disappointed in themselves. They should be angry. And they should be grateful that there is someone who is finally speaking for them. And who do they listen to? Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Mitt Romney, and Giuliani, and the like. Those people who want to perpetuate the status quo. Now, I have lost all my tolerance for the American voter. I have lost all my tolerance for people who complain about the political system. It's smacking them in the face. They have an opportunity, and they're not grabbing it. And I'm extremely discouraged. I still have not made a decision whether or not I'm going to continue this air program, radio program. It's a lot of work. It's been very, very discouraging when I see the results of such. Now, I did not expect Ron Paul to win or even to come out first place nor second place in New Hampshire. I did expect him to get more than 10%. Just think about this for a moment. In Iowa, and Iowa is comprised of 60% of fundamentalist evangelical Christians and born-again Christians, he received 10% of the vote and did very little work there. Now, Ron Paul has one of the largest budgets right now, just from people like you and me sending him $10, $20, $30, $50, $100. And he's not even asking for it. He's having people who believe in his message asking friends to please contribute. This is where he's getting his millions of dollars. He has the largest fund right now. He's ahead of Mitt Romney and Giuliani as far as money's concerned. And he goes to New Hampshire, a free state. It's the give me liberty or give me death state. I forgot what the saying of the state is. It's free live or something like that. I'm sorry what it is. I just don't recall. But it has to do with being a freeman. And he winds up with 8% of the vote. Well, anyway, I don't want to get there right now because I'm going to talk about a little bit more about that. But this is the Ron Paul Reveres, and you can send away for his DVD. There's a slight charge for it, very, very small charge for it. And you can hand out the DVDs to your friends and to people that you meet. Instead of trying to convince them to vote for Ron Paul, have them watch a 10-minute DVD. And if you would go on the World Wide Web to Ron Paul Reveres, REVERES.com, Ron Paul Reveres, you know, I encourage you to do so, right? And request some of the DVDs. I'm going to do that this week. I'm going to buy a batch, and I'm going to give them out, especially to those people. I mean, especially people that I know well who have no concept of what is going on. You know, it is so interesting that people not only don't know what's going on politically, but people don't know what is going on economically. Like I think I mentioned once before, I asked a friend, what do you think about the mortgage, the subprime mortgage crisis and the illiquidity of the banks? He says, oh, it doesn't affect me. He says, my mortgage is paid for. I mean, they have no concept of what is going on. And I guess I just have stupid friends. Well, some of them are stupid. But I'll bet you that was typical of a majority of Americans. We don't know what's going on. You know, and we really don't want to know what's going on. And the same thing goes politically. So here we have people who are economically ignorant, or uneducated, or disinterested, and politically uneducated, ignorant, and disinterested. Now, that is the populace that our government wants. Our government wants a populace that has absolutely no clue what's going on, because the government wants to feed them information that they feel would control their behavior, which would guide their behavior the way they want it to go. And you know what? And the people who complain the most are the most ignorant of them all, and don't realize that they're being manipulated and they're doing exactly what the government wants them to do. Shame on America. I am ashamed to be an American. We should be protesting. Every one of us should be protesting George Bush and Dick Cheney et al. And no, we don't. We say, well, maybe he's trying to protect us. I really have a problem, folks. I really have a problem. And it's not with our politicians. It's with the people who vote for them. All right. Well, please go to ronpaulreveres.com and get those DVDs, hand them out, and make a difference in America. I have a couple of things that were, well, I got a couple more emails that I want to read to you. He says, have you read about all the evidence surfacing for fraud in Iowa and New Hampshire yet? This is from Andy, Kansas City. No surprise who has been victims and who has benefited. Also, not surprising, there's been no mention from mainstream media sources. I've written my congressman asking to support any investigations. Looking forward to your next show. Andy, thank you for writing in. Right on. Thank you for your activism. Let's see. Here's one from Andy from My Two Cents Online. Okay, Andy says, the results so far simply don't jive with the contributions he's gotten. He's talking about Ron Paul, that Ron Paul's gotten. I want to wait until we see more results, but it continues to show this badly. If it continues to show this badly, rather, I'm going to call it like I see it. The fix is in. Campaign contributions are fairly closely correlated with success at the polls. The media has blacked him out, so that isn't helping. But I cannot see someone making a contribution, then not voting for him. That is absurd, considering that only the most politically active make contributions anyway. Even still, I am ashamed to be an American this morning. Andy, welcome to the club. Maybe we should start a website, Ashamed to Be an American, and have people sign up. I think that's a good idea. Let's develop that, Andy. AshamedToBeAnAmerican.com. All right. I must say that we will certainly get what we deserve. People are more worried about football and Britney Spears than our future. It is Rome all over again, but nobody realizes it because we're not allowed to teach it in our public schools. Andy, you're starting to sound like me. We are losing our history, our compass, our will to be free, all in one fell swoop. Read that on the air if you like. Tell them who said it. I want someone to tell me I'm wrong, but I fear that I am not. And this is Andy Sutton from MyTwoCentsOnline.com. Andy, thank you very much. Obviously, my sentiments exactly. I don't know where we're going. It is getting ugly out there. Do you realize that the restaurant industry nationwide has reported a decrease in patronage, or in revenues, rather, across the board around the United States by 20%. Folks, that's their profit margin. That means all of the restaurants, on average, are just about squeaking by or losing money. Many of the chains now are starting to lose money. And it's really strange that very recently, my wife and I have been eating home. We've been eating home every night. Now, the reason why I mention that is not that I say, well, because it was no conscious decision to do so. We didn't say, all right, from now on, we have to tighten our belts and, you know, we can go out to eat. We can afford to do that. But for some reason, we just decided to stay home. And we never said anything to one another. And I find that so interesting. And we come home and we buy some fruits and vegetables and whatever, and some salmon, maybe another fish and mackerel. And we cook some of that and throw some vegetables in the pan and we have a nice meal. By the way, we've lost weight doing that. We feel better, we eat better, and we're saving a heck of a lot of money. And I would say the decrease in our eating out is more than 20%. We're probably contributing to that 20%. And we're not alone. Now, probably the silent influence in that has been the fact that recently when we've gone out and we've had a small, light meal, and usually it's, you know, we can get away with $7-$8 a person. I mean, something small salad. I'm talking small in not a high-end restaurant at all. Don't get me wrong. I know high-end restaurants, you could pay $75 for two people if you're lucky without drinks. But all of a sudden, you know, we started dishing out like $26, you know, for a small meal, you know. And I think after a while, it just got to us. And without saying anything, we just decided to stay home and never said anything. Folks, have you been to the supermarket lately? Look at the price of things. The price of things are going through the roof. The inflation figures that the government publishes are bogus. Well, they're not bogus. They're correct. They're correct because that's the way they compute them. They don't compute actual inflation. I'm not going to go into that now because that's the subject of this program. But the prices are going up. People are being squeezed. Ron Paul is the only one addressing it. And people say, oh, he's crazy. Andy writes, let's see, who writes this one? This is from Guy from Queens, New York. We've all been discouraged. That's natural. But ultimately, this specific election is too important to hand over to the neocons on a silver platter. That's what they want. If you quit, it's one more victory for them. Is that what you want? Especially when you know how important this year's election is. But nevertheless, I have the feeling that no matter what happens between now and Sunday, that Sunday will probably be your last day trying to reach out to people. I don't know, Guy. I mean, that may be. I want to thank you so much for your support. I want to thank you for your kind words and your honesty. And I'm still thinking. So far, I think we're going to have a program. We have a program tonight, and we have a program coming next Thursday, and I think I'm going to keep the next Thursday program open. Here's an interesting one. This is from Jim, and Jim writes, and he gives us some information. He said, Joe, here, a billion seconds ago, it was 1959. A billion minutes ago, Jesus was alive. A billion hours ago, our ancestors were living in the Stone Age. A billion days ago, no one walked on Earth on two feet. $1 billion ago was only 8 hours and 20 minutes at the rate our government is spending it. Jim from Tulsa, thank you so much. That was great. Maybe that places the problems that we're having monetarily in perspective. Thank you, Jim. Let's see. Okay, the election. Now, I'm not going to get into the mechanics, for example, die-bowl machines versus hand counting. We will talk a little bit about that. But everything that could be said has been said. The web is replete with articles upon the Diebold machines. I think it's LHS Systems, which is the people who program it, and all the problems we've had with that, with city councils not altering or not doing what they said they were supposed to do regarding having them fixed and verified. The list goes on and on and on, and I'm not going to rehash any of that. I'm just not going to rehash it. I'd like to just vent a little bit and see if I can get anyone to agree with me. And if you can't call in, please call in 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. And I'd like to take your call on the air, and then we can discuss it. Now, I know this is Sunday evening. There may be football games going on. I know there are new programs coming on. One's the Terminator, I heard, at 8 o'clock. So depending on your time zone, you may be listening to that and not to this program, and I guess I don't blame you. But if you do get me on a rebroadcast, please send me comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com, and we'll respond to it during our next live broadcast, which would be Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m. Here's my problem. New Hampshire is sort of a free state. If there was one state that would have a preponderance of poll supporters, it would be New Hampshire. I think 40% of the state is actually registered independent, which is totally out of whack with the kilter with the rest of the United States. Ron Paul has probably more money to spend on his campaign than anyone else, or any other Republican at least. He's got a message that resonates with the people of New Hampshire. In fact, the people of New Hampshire really are Ron Paulites, if you will. Now, as I said before, and you already know, that Ron Paul received 10% in a state that was 40% evangelical Christian. New Hampshire is far from that, very far from that. And yet he gets 8%. Folks, no matter how you cut the mustard, it's like Andy's email said, with the money that he has and the effort he put in New Hampshire, 8% doesn't make any sense. Now, the same can be said for those on the Democratic side. It is strange that the exit polls showed Barack Obama close to 10% in the lead. The polls just prior to the election, the primary, showed him 10 to 20% in the lead, depending on the poll. And then all of a sudden, Hillary wins. What really, really bothers me, doesn't that just absolutely smack of elections in third world countries, where all of the people show out to vote, they're all excited about the person who wants to totally change the government, give people the power, you know, of governing and all that, and everyone shows up to vote, and you just know that the 90% of the vote's going to go to this, to the challenger, so to speak. And then, surprise, the dictator wins. Hey! And we here as Americans go, you know, that's got to be rigged. You know, that's horrible. You know, good thing that doesn't happen in the good old United States. Well, folks, that's the way I feel right now. I have only anecdotal evidence. But I don't know what happened during that election. But, you know, when I heard Ron Paul got 8%, that's the first thing that came to mind. The first thing that came to mind was that, geez, here we are. And I feel like we're living in a third world nation. And we have someone on the line. Good evening. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Your first name and where you're calling from, please. And thank you for calling.
Hi, my name is Luis. I am calling from Brooklyn, New York City. I am a big supporter of Ron Paul.
Thank you for calling.
Yes. I'm just surprised that as an American, don't we have a heritage to uphold of fighting tyranny?
A heritage? I'm sorry, I missed that, Luis.
Tradition of fighting tyranny.
Fighting tyranny?
So, yeah. Fighting tyranny.
Yes, we do.
The fact of the matter is, there's so many of us Ron Paul supporters. There's so many of us that gave money. I gave money. That are out there trying to campaign for him. We're not getting orders from headquarters to do this. We are regular people doing this. Yet, when it's obvious about there being voter fraud, why aren't we taking to the streets?
Luis. Am I pronouncing your name correctly? Is Luis?
Luis, Louis, Louis, whatever.
Okay. No, my sentiments exactly. I have voiced that opinion tongue-in-cheek, saying we should be protesting. In fact, what I would love to see is 5% of the population of the United States march on Washington. Not a million, but 5%. And throw all the bums out, clean the whole damn place out, restore the Constitution and start all over again. And I told my wife, the next time that there is a big event and there's going to be protest, I'm going to go. I said, I may get shot, but I'm just going to go because I'm so fed up. I am so fed up.
Well,
and don't ask me what I would protest. I'm just going to protest for the sake of protesting because I'm really pissed off at this point.
Well, I mean, there is this website called RonPaulMarch.com.
RonPaulMarch.com. Okay.
Right. It's like in the same spirit of the same website, the same person. Well, not the same person, but like the same idea of the person that organized the November 5th money bomb and the December 16th money bomb. It's like it's in that same spirit.
Yes.
But it's a march. It's a gathering march.
Okay.
It's basically us. I mean, but if I'm not, I mean. We have ourselves a good New York City meetup group here, Ron Paul meetup group. We have a good crew here. Everyone's working hard. I actually was privileged to meet the man himself.
Wonderful.
When he was doing an interview on The View. We stood out in the cold waiting for him, and he's just marching up the block here without a coat on, and it was a very cold day that day. And I was like, "Wow, he's not a very tall man. I mean, I'm 5'6", so he's about the same height as me."
Yeah, he's a slight man, but a giant among them, isn't he?
Exactly, and you could just feel the genuineness coming off of him.
Absolutely. Let me ask you, what did you expect out of New Hampshire? Realistically,
conservatively.
Yes.
I was expecting 40% for Ron Paul.
40%. Okay, that's much higher than I expected. But I would have been surprised if he had 40%. What was your reaction to the 8%?
I was loading up my gun and I was waiting for orders.
Yeah.
I was loading up the old pistola and waiting for like. It's on. waiting to get that call. It's on. Let's do this. I mean, it's up to us to take back our country. I mean, everybody's just. It seems like everyone's just leaving it up to Ron Paul. He's a good candidate, but even when he gets elected, and notice the words I'm choosing, when he gets elected. I'm still going to watch him like a hawk. I'm still going to make sure he does what he does. I'm not going back to sleep.
Luis, you are probably vocalizing the frustration of most people who know what's going on. Here in Oklahoma, there is a very large contingency of Ron Paul supporters. He's really reaching out even to people now who are apolitical, but now they realize that something needs to be done, and he truly is an honest man with the honest message for giving the people the power back and taking away from the government. I suspect something is wrong somewhere. I've searched the net this week trying to find out, and of course there are so many websites, and the problem is you don't know which is legitimate, which people are just mouthing off, and which is anecdotal evidence. It's very difficult.
Right. I know a couple websites. It's truthnews.us.
Say that again, Truth?
Truthnews.us.
Oh, truthnews.us, okay.
Ron Paul War Room .com.
Okay.
And blackboxvoting.org.
Okay, I've been there, right. And, right. You know, and they're all, I mean, they're all espousing about the same story. I guess you have read about the voter irregularity that's already been documented in Sutton, I guess in the town of Sutton, New Hampshire,
right.
With the 31 votes and whatever.
Right.
Now, also, I tried to get a spreadsheet of the that was compiled by the Associated Press on the election results in New Hampshire by county. And apparently, if you add up the votes in each county, Ron Paul wins. But for some reason, they show on the totals only 8%. Now, I have not been able to verify that because I do not have a copy. I saw it on a YouTube video. And and really what I probably should have done, which I just realized now, is I should have gone to the Associated Press website, and possibly the spreadsheet is there. And I'll tell you this, if you can find that spreadsheet, Louise, you know, I would appreciate it if you could send it to me. Just send it to comments@libertytalkradio.com. In fact, even if you don't find it, Louise, if you would send me your mailing address and your T-shirt size, I will send you an official Liberty Talk Radio T-shirt, okay, for calling in with your comments.
I can almost guarantee you don't have my size.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. If I don't have your size, I'll have it made. I'll eventually have it made, okay? Because I do this on a how about this? If you will send me your mailing address, I'll send you a Liberty Talk Radio coffee mug. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Okay, great.
LibertyTalkRadio.com?
Yeah, comments@LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Very good. I will get on that for you.
Yeah, and if you can, Louise, find from the Associated Press the tally of votes by county and then by candidate. I didn't find it, but I didn't look at the Associated Press one. But if you just happen to, I will look myself. But if you do find it, and if you could just email me the link or whatever, I would appreciate that.
No problem.
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate your comments, and good luck to you.
All right, God bless.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was nice. That was Luis from Brooklyn, New York, close to my old stomping grounds. Beyond the picture not being right, let me tell you something about me and the way I do things. I've never espoused to be, you know, someone who's brilliant, who has any particular talent, who has any particular anything. In fact, I'm such a plain Joe Blow, I guess. Now that I'm approaching 65 and looking back, I said, boy, you know, I wish I was more successful than I have been and achieved more than I should have, you know, and we all look back with certain amount of regrets, and I'm one of those. But one thing that I have done even more recently is I have looked at the way I look at things, rather, is I say, you know, what's wrong with this picture? Because I'm a critical thinker. You know, that I don't know if that's good, bad, or not, but I'm a critical thinker. And I question everything. I'm like a little kid. I said, why is the sky blue type thing? And I have found that I have been relatively successful in running a business, and even with my family, and saying, you know, what's wrong with this picture? What's the right thing to do? And when I see, when I learned of the results of the New Hampshire primary, I said, there's something wrong with the picture. It's just a matter of, well, people decided not to throw their vote away, all that garbage. There's something wrong with the picture, and it really bothers me. It truly bothers me, you know. I want to read an article. This is by Sheldon Richman. It was published in the Foundation for Economic Education, January 11, 2008. This is current stuff. And it says, "Meet the New Boss, Same as the Old Boss." This is the title. And I won't read this. It's several pages long. But I'll just read you a couple of excerpts from it. It says, "Note the dominant themes in the current campaign: hope, change, experience, and straight talk." Right? So we ask, hope for what? Change toward what? Experience at what? Straight talk about what? What? For what's? And if you listen to Hillary, and you listen to Obama, and you listen to Mitt Romney, and you listen to Giuliani, they talk about hope for the future. It's time for a change. You need someone with experience to get there. And I want to be straight with the American people. We hear that all the time. And yet we have that. We get sucked into it, and then we find out they didn't say what they promised. Well, no, you got it all wrong, folks. They did exactly what they promised. Nothing. They promised nothing. And what they promised is up to interpretation. And they're doing exactly what they intended to do. They're changing. Maybe not for the better, for the worse, but they're changing. And they are experienced at this change. You know? And the hope is not for you. The hope is for them. And straight talk? Well, folks, this is politics. Now, and they'll even admit that. After they're elected, they say, well, you know, you have to say certain things during a campaign because we feel if we didn't, you know, convince the voter they should vote for us, they would have voted for someone even worse than me, which is usually pretty tough to do or to have. He says, voters, and in this article, they say voters have every incentive to select candidates according to their own pre-rational prejudices. I like that, pre-rational prejudices. Most of which run contrary to economic wisdom and libertarian principles. They vote for the man or woman who makes them feel good. Do we wonder why freedom, the freedom philosophy, fares poorly in elections? The free enterprise approach to medicine, to judge by this campaign, is to tinker with the existing state-riddled system in order to create incentives for private insurance companies to do what the politicians want them to do. Now, listen, listen carefully. For incentives for private, to force the private insurance companies to do what the politicians want them to do. That's the supposed alternative to proposals for taking the profit out of the medical insurance. Isn't that a bad joke? Folks, we make no sense as a nation. We should be embarrassed. Most medical care is paid for by third parties, government, or tax-privileged insurance companies, virtually relegating patients to the status of children and short-circuiting the cost consciousness of consumers. And then in the area of energy, the candidates are all proposing energy independence. And yet they're not interested. They propose to regulate and subsidize, not nationalize, energy companies. They are technically fascist, not state socialist. They all claim to know what form of energy are best, what forms of energy are best, and are ready to use the power of the government, physical force, to impose them on us. But the candidates would rather tout energy independence as though suddenly the division of labor is a bad thing. Do they realize that most of our oil imports come from places other than the Persian Gulf? Or that two of our top three sources are in North America? You know, and it goes on and on and on. Oh, and let me repeat, Luis from Brooklyn had mentioned two websites. I'm going to mention them again. I recommend that you go to ronpaulmarch.com and also the Ron Paul War Room. This is truthnews.us. Luis, thank you again very, very much for calling. In another article I've read, it says 2008 presidential charade promises deepening of government criminality and expansion of war. I like that title because the front runners are actual warmongers. They have to be warmongers because the people behind their campaign is the military-industrial complex. And if you have a military-industrial complex, a trillion-dollar organization, you know, who is again influenced by the money changes in the world. These are the people who are going to tell us what we want to hear, and then they do what they want. And presidential, in other words, we're looking for presidential personality. Who is the most likable? You know, who sounds the best? Hillary's breaking of her voice, a captured all of the women to vote for her, and that's how she beat out Obama. If we believe that, folks, it's all over for us. We should have scoffed. Everyone should scoff at that. Everyone. And if we knew all the people that are behind, do you know one person that's behind the John McCain campaign is Henry Kissinger? Probably one of the scariest people that I've ever gotten to know via television and news. Part of the Council of Foreign Relations. Just a bad guy behind the scenes, as far as I'm concerned, for America. And he has several people behind his campaign that I wouldn't want to be in the same room with and never be associated with. We talked about that county, the Sutton County, or township. They're not counties, they're townships, where 100% of the reporting with zero votes for Ron Paul, and yet there were 31. I mean, there weren't that many votes casted in that town, but he probably would have won that town with 31 votes. And yet, you know, we sort of dismissed that. That should have been enough to demand an entire recount. Now, the problem with the recount, folks, is this. Is that there are die bowl machines, and the die bowl machines are programmed, obviously, and they're programmed by another company, you know, who had on television admitted, the owner says, well, we don't hire top-notch programmers for security reasons, because if a person's a really good programmer, they can manipulate the machine. Well, independent tests were done on that, and they gave this machine and the program to people who weren't all that swift with computers, and they were able to manipulate it. So that was bogus. And there's a lot of questions about that, and these people have been contested, and Diebold has been contested, and the LHS, I think, systems, which is the people who program it, there have been questions about them. And our politicians, instead of withdrawing everything from these people and getting somebody new, they just keep on, because it behooves them. The people in power got there probably because of these people. Now, in New Hampshire, 80% of the votes were tallied electronically using the dye bowl machines. Now, that means your vote goes in, the box goes to dye bowl, and then they electronically, you know, spit out the numbers. Now, it's very easy to manipulate. In other words, they can take a machine and say, well, we want this guy to win by 10%. No matter what the votes are, that individual wins by 10% or 5%, or whatever the case may be. Now, the thing is, if we go for a recount, we have to go to Diebold to have them recount. And what do you think they're going to do? They're going to say, oh, we made a mistake. Barack Obama really did win? No, they're not. So I'm in the industrial health testing business, and in the industrial health testing business, we do drug testing. And the key to industrial health to drug testing is that what they call the chain of custody. That means if you take someone's on the line. Hold on a second, please. Liberty Talk Radio, you're on the air. Your name and where you're calling from, please.
Oh, hi. Hi, Mr. Cristiano. It's me, Lewis, again.
Oh, yes, Lewis.
Yes, I just wanted to comment on the Diebold.
Yes, sir.
It reported by blackboxvoting.org, one of the programmers, she even found the actual police report. This person was indicted on drug charges and works for Diebold. She also made the claim that a lot of the employees and also some in the management have actual criminal records.
Oh, that's sweet.
Those are the people that are working on the machines in New Hampshire.
Hold that thought, Louise. We have another line, but you don't have to hang up. You can stay on the line, okay? Just hold on there one second. Let's see. Sure. Liberty Talk Radio, you're on the air. Your first name and where you're calling from, please.
This is Guy from New York.
Guy from New York. Welcome back, Guy. Is this the same guy from New York that spoke to me last week?
Same one.
Okay, Guy. What's on your mind?
You can let Louise finish his thought if you want.
Okay, Louise, why don't you go on, please?
I'm going to go on Black Box Voting to get that article for you.
Okay, appreciate that very much, Louise. Thank you very much. Bye-bye now.
Thanks.
Yes, Guy, what's on your mind this evening?
How you doing?
Fine, thank you.
See, I was watching Glenn Beck and today, and there was a show he had on the 9th, January 9th, and he had on the Comptroller General of the United States.
Yep.
And this guy's been on a tour for the last few years talking about the federal debt. And he's summing it up by saying, if we don't change, by the year 2040, no amount of cutting of spending, no amount of increase of taxes will pay off the debt. In other words, if we taxed everybody's income, all the rich, the middle class, and the poor, and we took away all of their income, even if they're making $100 million a year or $1,000 a year, everybody in the United States was taxed, and if we cut spending by the year 2040, we wouldn't have enough money to pay off the federal debt.
Well, the only problem that I have with a comment like that, Guy, is that I don't doubt what he says, and he's probably absolutely correct, is when someone projects something out to 2040, to the American people, I mean, to the people that you're reaching, people go, I'll be dead by then. What do I care? And I think that's, in my opinion, my humble opinion, I think it's a little dangerous to say, well, if we don't get our act together today, by 2040, we'll be broke. No one's going to move. I mean, people tend not to move until there's an immediate crisis. And if they don't do something, they're going to get hurt, starved, burn, or freeze. And they're not going to do anything. When we say, hey, 35 years from now, we may have a problem, and people saying, let's say I'm 50, that makes me 85, screw that, I'll go on. I mean, it's nothing that I should be concerned about today. Now, quite frankly, I think we're going to have a crisis well before 2040. We're not going to have to wait that long, but what do I know? You know, I'm just Joe, you know. But I agree with him. I wish he wouldn't have said 2040. I wish he would have said, you know, if we don't do something within the next year or two or 6 months, you know, interest rates will go up, but joblessness will go up, you know, whatever the case may be, and say, you know, you may lose your job in 3 months, you know, if this and this happens. This is his projection. You know, people can identify with that. Who can identify with the year 2040?
Well, you're exactly right about that. And people don't, well, people have been saying this for so many years that people really don't pay that much attention to it.
Sure, it's the sky is falling syndrome, you know. Oh, yeah, I've heard that before, you know. And in 2070, you know, it's going to happen. Who cares? You know, people don't, I mean, if you say in 3 weeks this will happen, they'll say, I got 3 weeks. I got plenty of time to, I got plenty of time to get my affairs in order, you know. And they don't do anything.
Well, yeah, people like that.
Yeah. I think that's very interesting. I think it's very, very, very interesting that they do that, and I think they do irreparable harm when they say 2040. I mean, that's my opinion. What do I know? You know, let me ask you this: what kind of feedback are you getting where you are in New York as to the results of the primary? Are you getting any feedback on that at all? That would be of interest to our listeners.
No, I expected Ron Paul to get about 13%, but he got less than that, and then I wasn't that surprised. And I'm not getting, you know, a lot of feedback from people that I know. I know libertarians, and primarily that's about it. And the people that aren't libertarians really don't know much about politics, so, you know, they'll just continue on waking up in the morning, going to the job until their bank accounts are wiped out, or until gold is $1,000 an ounce. And even now, they probably don't know that what the implications are of the $900 an ounce gold. They probably don't know the implications of the potential skirmish in the Straits of Hormuz. People don't know, don't care, because they're continuing on with their regular lives. The only thing they know about is inflation, and inflation is coming along on such. Has been coming along at such a creeping value,
right?
Creeping rate that they grow up with it.
Yeah,
they probably will become more aware of it in the year to come, because inflation in food prices has gone up minimum 30 some odd percent.
Yes,
in the last 3 or 4 months alone.
Yes, it's getting really tough here, because I do minimal. It's just my wife and I. We do minimal shopping, you know. And in fact, 2 weeks ago, I bought a grapefruit. I never did this before, but I was dying for grapefruit. It was a gigantic grapefruit. It was $1.69 for one grapefruit. And here in Oklahoma, that's a lot of money for a grapefruit. And usually, I'm accustomed to like 39 cents or 49 cents for a grapefruit. And that's a good one. 50 cents is you get a big grapefruit. And I said, boy, that really shows that prices are really starting to skyrocket.
They're going right through the roof.
Yeah, they really are.
That's something which you were talking about before, where the government, when they measure inflation, they measure the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, but they define what it is.
Yeah, I understand they basket the items. That means if steak gets very expensive, the assumption is that you'll go from steak to chicken, so there's been no increase in inflation because people are spending the same amount of money, but they've just taken an alternative food source, you know, and they switch it. And they do this, and I don't understand the logic behind it, but and this is how you get an inflation rate that's 3% when you're walking around saying nothing is up 3%, everything is up 5, 10, 15, 20%. And how do they get 3%? And I love when they say everything except for food and energy. Well, geez, what's left? I mean, you know, computers. And computers, you know, keep on going down, so it ameliorates the rate itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't, well, yeah. The energy, the food, the housing. When those prices go up, they're not included within the basket, so when the CPI goes up by 3 or 4%,
right.
Just like the unemployment rate, when the government talks about unemployment rate, that's 5 or 6%, they know now, when a person reaches the end of his unemployment cycle, and he's still unemployed, he's no longer considered part of the unemployed, he's considered part of the non-employed. So if everybody was unemployed, the rate would still be around 6%.
Yeah. Let me read you something. I want to get back for just one second, Guy. I want to get back on the voting just for one moment, because it was something I wanted to get across on the air. But stay on the line. Here we have from a website, which is Citizens for Legitimate Government, and it's legitgov.org, and they have the Diebold's scan percentages, and then they had, where available, they had the paper counted, paper counts. And in this one that they had here, this one machine, they had with Hillary Clinton getting 39.6% of the vote, almost 40% of the vote. But when they did the hand count, they had her only getting 34.9% of the vote. Barack Obama received, on the Diebold machine, received 36% of the vote. But when they hand counted the ballots, it was 38. In fact, they went down to 38.617. They really got down to the thousandth or 10,000th of a percent. Then they have this figure. I'm not certain what this means. I think they mean that Clinton was inflated by 4.709%, and Obama was deflated by a minus 2.308%. Now, the same thing happened with Ron Paul. He had 7.1% on the Diebold machine. Hand counted was 9.2%. Now, that's a significant percentage-wise, percentage. That's 20% difference or more. And then Romney receives, Romney on the totals, his were, I believe this means inflated, 7.59%, and Ron Paul was deflated by 2.112%. I think that should give us reason to pause and say, there's a problem here, folks. We need to change something. Maybe Ron Paul did get 10, 12, or 15%. Now, I'm not saying he won, but I mean, there's evidence that the number of people who voted for him were a lot higher than the 8% showed. So, and I can only go by the figures that are there, and that seems like a legitimate website. It doesn't seem like a kook website or anything like that. And I like the saying, Joseph Stalin, you know, the world's favorite leader, right? It's not who votes that counts, it's who counts the votes. Now, that was his favorite saying, and it seems like that's very apropos with the past two elections. I think that, you know, and again, to me, Guy, for Ron Paul to get 10% in a state that's 40% or 60%, whatever it is, a fundamentalist Christian, and in a free state to get only 8%, there's something absolutely wrong with that picture. There's something just wrong. Well, and especially the exit polling didn't bear out any of the election results. The exit polling, which is usually accurate, relatively accurate, didn't reflect what exactly happened to that in the actual results.
Well, true. That's the reason why they were criticizing Diebold during the 2004 election, because
right.
The exit polling statistically didn't add up to what it should have been.
Yeah.
But New Hampshire is a Bernie Sanders socialist state, so almost not that surprising, because when Ron Paul talks about freedom, he's also talking about responsibility. And in a state where an avowed socialist is their representative, is it Vermont or New Hampshire that Bernie Sanders is representing?
Yeah, but I still think there's a large contingency of free state people, you know. By the way, I have about 1 minute before I go off the air, so Guy, I'm going to have to say good evening and thank you very much for calling in. I'll be talking to you again.
Okie doke.
Thank you for calling in.
Now.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, this is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. And remember, don't steal. The government hates competition. Until next time, stay well. Stay tuned.